Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Hear again the word of the Lord to his church on this ninth day of the Christmas season that will give you practical instructions for staying connected to God. Hang in there, those that are worried by that phrase. I will meditate on all your work, and on all your mighty deeds I will muse. Thus far our text. I said it before, I'll say it again. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
God in his mercy has again permitted us to come to the ninth day of the church's celebration of the nativity of our Lord. Today, readings appear this year that do not come into our ears every Christmas season on a Sunday. Even so, they are very closely tied to the word that many of us heard this past Wednesday concerning the ancient church remembrance of the birthday of the holy infants and sucklings, otherwise known as the Feast of the Holy Innocents. That was a day to celebrate a red Christmas, while this one is given as a white Christmas day. White and red colors alternate through the 12 days of Christmas, especially in its first 5 days. You, as members of this congregation, who celebrate the church year in your daily scripture readings, have already rejoiced in 4 great days. The Nativity, of course, St. Stephen, St. John, and Holy Innocents. As we've heard through a couple of sermons now, that annual pattern of readings provides us with reminders as to why red, used in this season, predominates, particularly outside the church. That, whether biblically uninformed or uninitiated people know it or not, is because of the blood that has been shed for the proclamation of the good news for all people, everywhere. The coming of Christ to shed his blood under the law into death is the true message of the Christmas season. Those who meditate upon the Word of God, especially in Christmas time, will ever, through the Holy Spirit, come to the realization that Jesus became human in order to bring God's forgiveness to humans. That means that he was in flesh to become the sin bearer, and not just that, your sin bearer. He shed his blood to wash you clean from all stain of sin. And that brings us to the white of this day. This Christmas day, if we followed a high Middle Ages interpretation of a popular Christmas song, we would focus on the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, namely love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Planning to intentionally practice those would make for some very difficult New Year's resolutions. Yet they are gifts that God desires to work in the hearers of his word. So as you continue to hear God's word, to confess your sins and receive his blood-bought absolution, take heart that he'll work those 9 fruits in you, to a greater or lesser extent, depending on how much attention you give to your old nature, the world, and the forces led by the evil one. The more you are attentive to God's word, which is why you're here today, I would pray, the more the Holy Spirit will have in you to work against those forces. So today's encouragement is to go back to the words of the psalm. I will meditate on all your work, and on all your mighty deeds I will muse. To that end, because quite a few of us heard again about the slaughter of the holy innocents this past Wednesday, we're going to meditate today on the flight into Egypt. We have heard of God's providing, protecting, and caring for his son through his stepfather Joseph. We have heard of God's giving that devout and faithful man direction through dreams. Well, those were certainly mighty works that led to the simple human act of traveling, that the infant Lord of all might be spared then to die on the divinely appointed day in the divinely appointed manner, that all might be saved from sin, death, and hell. Joseph, as a divinely declared just man, an Israelite, would have been very familiar with the Psalms. His very consideration of what that he had heard from the Lord in his dream, even as he was considering what to do about his pregnant fiancée, shows that the word, such as we are hearing from today, was at work in him. For in that word, in Aramaic likely, Hebrew surely, Joseph would have had a lifetime of occasions to hear and respond as we did today. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. Yea, I will remember from of old your wonders. Joseph was able to call God's wonders from old because Joseph would have been immersed in God's word from the time that he was in the womb. One of the reasons why we follow the practice in this congregation of speaking the name of the Lord over the belly, the womb, of pregnant women, for the surety that that child is being exposed to the word of God even while in the womb. Among the wonders that Joseph would have been exposed to was that which was one of the great salvation of the old, events of the Old Covenant era. As you in the New Testament era continue to be called back to your baptisms, the people in the Old Covenant era were called back to what? The Exodus. That is God sparing Israel and his family from death by leading them into Egypt. Joseph would have been able to call to mind God's leading Israel's descendants then in multitudes out of sure and certain death from Egypt under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Joseph, having inwardly digested God's word throughout his lifetime, when the angel called him to go into and later out of Egypt, he would have grasped the wonder that God was doing for him, for Mary, and for infant Jesus. He would have got it, because the word was there. It was not out of pure pietism that Joseph followed the word of the Lord. He was not complying with all that he was receiving in his dreams out of legalism. He was not searching for methods for his family's salvation from King Herod and later his successor. Joseph was not simply following his heart. He was following the word of God that had been planted deep within him. He was not concerned with the experiences of his heart with regard to his practice of the faith. In fact, that would have led him, by fear, to remain apart from the people of God in the land of Judah, where he and his family actually belong. Joseph, therefore, stands as an example for you who would be faithful in our age of the church. When faced with real-world threats to life, do you simply cling to human devised rules that promise to save you? Do you look for the best methods that will get you out of whatever jam you might be in or have gotten yourself into? Are you following your heart, letting your fallen emotions guide you somehow to find a way out of whatever might be threatening you? Are you continually letting the experiences of your heart lead you into whatever religious practices you follow? For in them, in times like these, they will lead you to fear and isolation and separation from the gatherings of the family of God. If these things have occurred to you or are occurring in you now, repent. Return to that which Joseph did in his lifetime before he led his family into Egypt and led them later in a new exodus. Hold fast to God's word. Hear it. Mark it. Learn it. Inwardly digest it. In his services to you and in your homes and wherever you may be. As you become more steeped in the divine word, the more that word will guide you into life-saving, life-preserving, life-enhancing decisions whenever and wherever they are needed. The word frees you to follow it into the faith in the community of the believers. That's why you're here today. It stands against your dearest heart experiences. For these can lead you to think that living in faith means it is enough for you and Jesus to be friends, to be buddies, apart from the family of Christ gathered on earth. Consider the words of today's psalm. Hear them. Inwardly digest them. And in them, be prepared to live godly lives. O God, in your way is holiness. Who is a God as mighty as the Lord? You, in different words, asked that question today. As you did so, did you come to the biblical answer, there is no God as mighty as the one true God? The word, by its very nature, leads the faithful hearer to that conclusion. The way of holiness, dear family of God, is the way of the Word, the way who is Jesus. He, long before he, with the Father and the Spirit, formed the first Adam from the dust of the earth, by his Word, created the heavens and the earth, and all that is in, under, above, and throughout them. No other God can do all that and sustain all that, all the while restraining evil in this fallen creation, that his word may continue to go forth to the end that many will be saved. Joseph would have surely thought of God's leading in the exodus of his ancestors and Jesus' human ancestors through Mary's line as these words welled up in him during the times he faced death. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were in anguish, yea, the deeps trembled. Joseph would have known, believed, and treasured in his heart the wonders God did in rescuing his forefathers out of the hands of Pharaoh. He would have been able to recite God's parting up the waters of the Red Sea, the Yam Suf, so that Israel could pass through them on dry ground. He would have been able to recall those waters crashing down on the evil host that pursued Israel to lead them back into captivity and death. Do such images come into your mind when you hear the word of God concerning the mighty wonders God did in the days of old? If not, return to his word. Let it be in your mouth when you rise at the start of your day. Let it be in your ears when you lie down to rest. Let it be there throughout your days and nights in this new year. Then, whatever worldly tragedies might come upon you, upon us, all of us will be able to stand firm in the Word and follow the way of the Lord. Remember, Christmas to Sunday is not in the calendar every year, yet it is here for us today, calling us, beseeching you to ponder God's work anew, to meditate on his mighty deeds. To that end, consider this. That came from this pulpit on January 5th, 2020. What was that before? This word was proclaimed from God's word for the day concerning our anticipated rejoicing in the year 2020. Your rejoicing may be in the midst of happiness, peace, sadness, or any other number of concerns. In the first week of the year 2020, we remember that the world, unrepentant sinners, and the spiritual forces of evil in this fallen creation had won some battles in the past year. Some of us have faced health struggles, faith tests, and financial challenges, to name a few things that we dealt with last year. Those eternally defeated enemies of the faithful have been raging almost 2,000 years after God in our flesh won the war. Others of our number have received happiness in witnessing or participating in baptisms and marriages and confirmations that took place in and through this congregation. This new year will likely continue to bring events that will move us to happiness or sorrow, wondrous awe or terror, to revel in beauty's light or to turn away in disgust on account of the dark ugliness of sin that permeates this fallen year. In this fallen world. Could have wrote it for this year. Little did any of us know that what we and this world would have experienced since those words were first spoken. Few would have predicted the isolation, loneliness, fear, anxiety, social unrest, and attacks that would have worked to try to close all God's churches on earth. Thank God that didn't happen. No one on that day, except God, was looking to the deaths that have occurred due to the actions or inactions of humans throughout the past 24 months. Only God ached in himself at that day for the evil that he would have to restrain as many humans resorted to their emotional, fallen, self-preservation impulses rather than turn to his word and care for one another in God's God-pleasing ways as they held fast to the word. Yet for us who have remained in God's word, the Holy Spirit has given wisdom as he ever pointed us to the way who is Jesus. He moved us to continue to care for one another and for those whom he has brought into his community and this congregation. Through the 2 years that have passed since those words guided by Scripture were proclaimed, God has delivered us from evil in this place in his divine services, where he has continued to keep us in the way. In that way, we are being prepared and will remain prepared for our last hour. In that way, we shall finally, in God's good time, be delivered from all evil. In that way, we will each enter into the eternal communion of the saints. There we will dwell in the Lord's peace with all that is in his new creation. Until that day, we have the example of Joseph to follow. Until that day, we have God's word to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. Until that day, we have the communion of saints on earth to stand with us as we face whatever coming days and weeks may bring. No matter what red days we may experience in the church in days to come, we still will have the blood-washed white robes of Christ upon us in his sight. Until that day, we hear from the one who led his people out of death by the hand of Moses and Aaron, leading us to the eternal promised land. That is reason enough for you this day, with all the saints in heaven and on earth, to lift up your voices and sing of the glory of God's mighty works on our behalf. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Please stand as you're able. The peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.